By the time I was 11 or 12, I was gifted with an Atari 800 computer. I loved everything about Atari microcomputers at that time, from the box art to the design aesthetic of the machines themselves, and all of the sense of possibility that it held. Looking back now, I see the small box I was in, the relatively limited computing power, the near-zero chances that I, personally, a preteen, was going to create anything extraordinary using this machine. But still, living in my small room, enjoying day-to-day this powerful, seeming computer, I kept dipping into the dream, the fantasy, that I was going to create something unique, special, extraordinary. I needed that escape ladder, and it provided it for me. Perhaps no contrast between what I wanted and what I dreamed for and what was sitting in front of me was the experience of trying to make custom Atari fonts. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The Atari 400 and 800 had a whole bunch of interesting specifications at a time when color was rationed very closely. Different machines had different amounts of color and graphic size and processing, and when you joined up, signed up really, for the volunteer forces of a given microcomputer cult, you did so acknowledging that you would never, ever admit that the others had anything going for them. Signing up for Atari made you an enemy of Commodore, IBM, and Apple. Being a Commodore user made you look down on anybody settling for the other machines. Luckily, I was a little isolated, and so I didn't really have a chance to push that sort of narrative. But it did express itself in me looking at the Atari 800 as a springboard for my creative work. I can tell I was looking for a way out. At the time, I was not enjoying life at all. I was not comfortable in school. I was not really making a huge range of friends. I felt isolated, trapped, like this was it. Like after the initial childhood I'd had before my parents got divorced, that was the utopia I would never return to. In that sort of thinking, it felt like every single day, living like I did, was going to be more and more unhappy, unpleasant, grayer, darker. I was not prepared for any sort of future coming down the line. Believe me, if I could go back there and grab that kid by the lapels and tell him that everything was going to be okay, that would be great. But I had to struggle on my own. From this dearth of connection, the Atari 800 that I had was sort of like a powerful engine, a thing from another world that had landed in my room and was sitting on an old, beat-up desk in a very, very dark bedroom. I loved having the lights off, the curtains drawn, the shades down, living in darkness with a series of glowing televisions I had gotten out of various junk piles around town. Connecting my machine to these, I could play computer games while also looking at the news on different channels. I could find in that small pile of video signals refuge, a kind of sense of control, seeing all sorts of information coming in from the different channels and adding to it with my computer work. And after a while, I definitely stopped thinking incredibly dark thoughts and really started thinking about what could I do? What things could I make using this machine? It was a creative urge that took over. On the Atari 8-bit systems in their first generation, you had a number of graphics modes, and you also had the ability to change the font. In fact, there were ways you could do font manipulation to produce very fast graphics. By modifying the fonts themselves, you weren't trying to plot high-resolution images, you weren't beholden to uses of memory trying to figure out speed, and as somebody who didn't know assembly language, barely knew BASIC, this seemed like the best way that I could create some sort of game, some sort of idea, and use fonts to do it. Customization of fonts on the Atari was weird. If you could imagine a grid of different squares, and then each of those rows being manipulated by an 8-bit character whose ones and zeros would become the lit and unlit parts of that character, you might start to understand how weird it was for somebody with such little math training and no mentors to try to climb uphill. And I learned very quickly that graph paper was my closest friend. The idea of taking some sort of image and putting it down to the size of a character, then converting it to a series of dots that would fit within this small, small grid, and then have it all look recognizable from a screen, was just enough distraction, just enough limits for me to start to work within it. You ended up coming up with icons at a time before icons becoming the common lingua franca of computers. Whereas years hence, I could see multicolored icons of a certain resolution representing machinery or games or programs. At the time, it was just a monochromatic set of dots that from a very, very large distance could possibly look like a creature, a gun, a wall, a laser, depending on how I could come up with it. And here's where I would normally be able to say, at the end of it, that I had a game, that I accomplished something. But I didn't. I never created a game on the Atari 800 using any of these tricks I was learning. Never totally got into how best to do it. Throughout the life of my Atari 800, I had a cassette tape drive. And nothing kills creativity more than having to do a long save onto a tape and hope that it all came through, and then hope that it'll all come back again. No, I don't have a happy ending in terms of being able to talk about a game idea I had. Game ideas came and went in my mind throughout my teenage years, some of them derivative, some of them feeling years later like they came from the same well as whoever created those games later. But I never made one. I drew ideas in a notebook long gone. I came up with these initial drawings in my notebook for this planned set of games. I would put in the ones and zeros and figure out what the 8-bit number was for that particular character's row. I did a lot of that work, but in terms of product, it came to nothing. I have no early game to show you. What I do have to show you is me. Having this sort of goal, this place to put myself, to put my mind, to make it so that I came home, stopped thinking dark thoughts, and instead focused on the game I would make, the programs I would do, the things that were yet to be, helped me. There was a wide variety of hands and factors and carefully watching people who kept me from becoming something else, or nothing at all. But among all those invisible and visible hands was the fact that having a dream of something bigger than where I was trapped, of having these ones and zeros work themselves up into a glowing character that I would be able to turn into a game, and from that game gain the notoriety, the money, the escape from where I was. Well, I'm not going to discount that at all. Looking back, as I can with the archive, at all the different games and programs that represented what the Atari 800 could actually do, I really know how doomed I was. Even with the greatest amount of patience and maybe a mentor, I would have been lucky to produce a fraction of what my dreams held must be real and would be coming. But that's beside the point. What I had in front of me, that illusion of infinite power that was being kept in a constant state of interest and engagement and a hope for tomorrow, made it so that ultimately there was another tomorrow for me to have. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, Benjamin Guts, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Every once in a while, when I'm on incoming sorting duty at the archive, I love typing in Atari, just to see what Atari things come through. It's going to be ads and catalogs and magazines, along with software box art and a whole other host of Atari-related documentation, videos, and even music. Somehow, going back to those specific Atari fonts brings me back myself. It's kind of weird, really, how different fonts and different approaches to typography, letters, and presentation settle somewhere in your heart. They become more than what they are saying. They themselves, the actual formed fonts, become your ideas, become your comfort zone. Nostalgia, memory. It is a steadily flowing river, deep underground, that if I sit back and let settle in, I can barely hear in the distance.